This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, the objective this evening for Atlanta United was to come into your home park and take 3 points, and they accomplished their objective tonight. Maybe a secondary objective. Give your fans something to feel better about, and we can debate if that objective was accomplished. But the bottom line is Atlanta United won, and they get 3 very much needed points to climb the Eastern Conference table and get their first league home win of 2019, 1-0 over Colorado, Julian Gressel scoring in the 74th minute. And again, I don't think you and I are going to argue that this was a pretty display of anything until maybe the game opened up in the last 20 minutes. But the bottom line is Atlanta United didn't get frustrated basically playing 6 against 9 in the attacking third. They didn't get frustrated with the at times chippy play of Colorado tonight. They played through everything, and they did what champions do. You win even when you don't have your best, and they did that tonight.
Yeah, and that's the thing is I don't know if I'd even say that they didn't have their best.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You don't think Atlanta United played better tonight than they did in New England, do you?
New England's it's two completely different matches. It's like saying that the symphony concert was better than the Nirvana concert.
Do you feel Atlanta United played better tonight than they did last week against Dallas?
That's a good one. In some ways, yeah, because they didn't give up that early chance,
which is a big part of the whole story.
Yeah,
it's a
big thing. Gave up a couple chances. Colorado had 3 shots on goal, a couple scary ones, a couple when they shouldn't have. Later in the game, and this is what was interesting, when you dominated possession, you still had a couple turnovers that led to chances for Colorado and some transitions where you just didn't switch on quick enough. But when the game opened up, you actually defended maybe a little bit better in that regard. And I think Colorado had problems switching their approach, going from sitting behind the ball to, hey, they just gave us the ball. We have to do something with this now because we're under pressure.
So Atlanta United gets the win. They're second of the year. They're first at home in league play to go to 8 points. That's very important. Red Bulls and Cincinnati are playing right now. Red Bulls with the 1-0 lead early in the second half. Atlanta United's going to climb at least a notch on the Eastern Conference table. Could go all the way up to 9th, depending on how other things shake out tonight. Let's go downstairs. Frank DeBoer has made it to the podium. Here is post-game comments.
Starting questions in English, as usual, and transition over to Spanish. Doug, you want to lead us off?
Hey, Frank. Is this a relief? Is it concerning? Is it a bit of both?
Concerning about what?
Just 3 shots on goal. Didn't seem to have the same, spark on offense like last week, I guess.
Yeah, but you always need 2 teams to try to play football. And we had only 1 team who tried to win a game. And so, and that's hard, you know, international football. And also here, you know, when teams play like this, you know, you have to have a fantastic day. Even, you know, the big teams in Europe have problems with this kind of system. If they play, they park 2 buses in front of their own goal. And so you already saw that the second half was much better because, yeah, we could say a little bit more, okay, this is maybe you have to step maybe 2 meters to the right, making more runs and everything. So the second half was much better. But it's very difficult to play against this kind of system. I played myself against very defensive teams. And it's hard. You have to have a fantastic day. And you have to have the luck that, you know, in the beginning we had some bounces in the box of the opponent, and it just felt for the wrong player. And if you score an early goal, they have to come out. And yeah, then it's an open game. But now they have still the belief, okay, they're coming for a result for 1 point, and maybe with a little bit of luck for 3 points. And that's why I think this victory tastes very sweet, because I think the team who deserve to win get the 3 points. And sometimes it's not always the case. So sometimes we are in a difficult position because we don't want to be in the position where we are right now. But you know, this helps us, you know, to move forward, and also that we can win this kind of games. And hopefully, you know, the next opponent will play a little bit more open. But if not, we have to adapt to that. We have to, but also we're going to learn from this game, and the players going to learn, okay, maybe what I did in the first half, second half felt much better. I came much better in the play. So this kind of things, you know, we play when we play against this kind of systems, yeah, we're going to learn every week. And so again, the most important is 3 points. Of course, we want to entertain the people, but yeah, we have not a team that we okay. We put like two very tall guys and just put the ball, you know, in, and then let's see what's happening. No, we are a team who wants to play football, and you know, the spaces were so narrow, and yeah, then everything has to fit together, and yeah, hopefully in the future we can show that also against this kind of systems.
And Chris. Frank, speaking of that this is a team that wants to play football.
Yeah.
There was dynamism that was lacking a little bit in the first half. Does this team in your tactical system have a number 10?
No, the number 10, I think Gonzalo Martinez played like the number 10, and so he was really the number 10, and maybe it was not, you know, his best play, but it doesn't matter. It was his first starting, you know, a lot of times, and so, but, you know, he has to get used to it. He has to get used to the surface and everything, and also the style of play of the MLS, of course. So, yeah, he's our number 10 normally, and, you know, we want him a little bit close to Joseph Martinez. You know, they have a good combination, and hopefully in the future we're going to see a lot more of, good combinations with him.
Chris and Joe.
What was the mood or the mentality of the team in the locker room at halftime, and what was your message to them?
No, that, you know, I said, it's, you know, it's very difficult. I said what I already just said. I played also against this kind of system, and it's hard to break down. And so we have to have patience, you know. Don't, you know, be, you know, just run in front of the ball, but let the ball do the job and try to from left to right, and as doesn't go back to left, and then there will be some open gaps between the lines, and then you have to give the right ball at the right speed and everything, yeah, and then the individual quality have to make the decision at the end, like the goal also, it's an individual quality of Nagby, and a good run of course of Julian Gressel, but yeah, at the end, it's, you know, what it's like with Barcelona. At the end, Messi makes the difference, and we have to make also. That's why I put at the end Tito in as a, you know, I said if you're gonna play one against one, you have to play one against one, because it was a little bit lack of that in the first half. So that's why I changed it. I changed all offensive with Breakout and Darlington on his position at the end. You know, it helped us because Darlington had a crucial role, of course, in the goal.
All right, Frank DeBoer with his post-match remarks downstairs in the media room. We are efforting Brad Guzan here on the full-time report, and hopefully we'll get a chance to speak to the big polar bear who got his second clean sheet of the year tonight. We're going to get to the man of the match in a moment, but I think there are a couple really key points there from Frank DeBoer. And right off the bat, when he was asked by a reporter if anything about this performance was concerning to him, I don't think he said anything wrong. He said it takes two teams to play football. Only one of them was trying to win the match today. That's what we saw out of Cincinnati. To an extent, we saw that out of Dallas. Now you see it out of Colorado. It's frustrating. It's boring to watch. I get that complaint, but Frank's not wrong.
It's not boring by Atlanta United's initiative. It's right. Boring because of the opponent choosing not to play. And Colorado came here not to play. They came here to try to steal a point, and if they got something going the other way, it's a bonus. It does take two teams to play. And Atlanta United can't make the opponent play a more aggressive style. They can't make them come out. They did everything they could to get Colorado to come out. They played more direct in the second half. That did open things up and get the game going back and forth more. That also brought in risk. But at that point, you're at home, you're going for it, you're willing to take that on. You're not willing to take that on in the first 5 minutes of the match because of what we talked about coming in. You can't concede early. You want to control the game. You want to keep control as long as you can.
And Frank made a remark publicly that we had been talking about during the break in kind of likening where Atlanta United is right now to almost being like Barca. This is what happens when you're a big club playing at home. This is how struggling opponents are going to play against a big club when they're on the road.
Struggling opponents or opponents who have the personnel to do it, like Dallas last week. Dallas came in with a very clear tactical plan, and it was that. They got the early goal that made it even more clear, and they rode that out to a win. Colorado comes in, and Colorado can't play with Atlanta. Colorado cannot play in a game that is 50-50 with Atlanta United. They do not have the talent on the field to do that. So they have to come in with a tactical plan to get what they can out of the game. You see it every time Barcelona goes to play somebody, and they want to do that. They want to sit back and put 9-10 behind the ball. You have to break it down, and when you can't break it down, you have to then figure out, what can I do to risk more? What can I do to risk more? You pull out Breck Shea, you bring in Tito Villalba, you bring in Eric Rometty, you put Darlington Nagbe at a kind of left wing back role, and that changed the game.
Now, you and I are in agreement that this team seems to play better when Ezequiel Barco is the number 10. Felipe Cardenas of The Athletic just asked Frank DeBoer about the situation with the number 10. Pitti was in that role today. And as we said during the game broadcast, you're getting to a point very soon where Ezequiel Barco is not going to be available for you because he's going to be called into Argentina for the U-20 World Cup. At that point, Frank has to start talking about Pitti being the number 10.
There's a few things about the number 10 role that I think you have to keep in mind. Let's go back to Ezequiel Barco at Independiente in Argentina. He was the de facto number 10, but he played on the left wing. Everything played through him. He got all of the touches. He wasn't central. You can be in a number 10 role, with air quotes, by not being in the middle. And if you want to play Pitti Martinez in the middle to develop that connection with Joseph, that's fine. I think there is still a need to play through Ezequiel Barco more. However, you're dead on, and it's not official yet, and it still could change. Argentina has not announced their U-20 World Cup squad yet, but the way Ezequiel Barco has been playing over the last month, he has to be called in. He has to be a part of that team, and you have to let him go. And that means Atlanta United's going to have to figure that out. Whether it's Barco getting those touches centrally or on the left wing, you're going to have to replace him. And that's going to be a big question for this team in the next month.
Well, Pitti would certainly be an option. Andrew Carlton might be an option. He's been getting games in USL right now with ATL UTD2. I don't know if he went to Ottawa or not. He was not in the 18 today. Carlton might be an option. Kevin Kratz still injured. I'm not sure if that's your optimal number 10 right now. And I'm not sure Julian Gressel is your everyday number 10. He might be in a pinch, but I don't know if you would feel overly comfortable with that.
I think for Frank DeBoer, the possibility might be Darlington Nagbe stepping up higher and getting those touches, because we saw that in New England. That was the game plan going in, was Nagbe as the 10 in front of Rometty and Larinowicz. If it's on the left wing or if it's central, I think you're going to see Darlington Nagbe become a bigger part of this team going forward, with Ezequiel Barco potentially being absent.
Speaking of Nagbe, he's our man of the match, brought to you by Heineken, no doubt about it. Right, had the assist on the game-winning goal by Julian Gressel in the 74th minute. It's the dynamism, though, of Nagbe. And you made such a great point when Frank DeBoer called him over into the technical area, as we've seen a couple different times this year. Here's Nagbe again playing left back at one point, trying to see this match out. And statistically, what a night for him. He had the assist, 94% passing accuracy, won two fouls, won two tackles, and had, like I said, the setup on the goal that determined the match.
93% passing in the opponent's half. Coming into the match, he was number two in the league in passing in the final third. I would imagine he is still either number two or number one after the night he had. He just, sometimes in this team, and I don't know if it's the role, I don't know if it's the connection with what DeBoer's asking him to do, but there's times in this team this season that he just takes things over. And that's why I think when Barco's going to be out with the U-20s, if that happens, Nagbe's role is going to be even more important going forward.
So Darlington Nagbe, your man of the match, brought to you by Heineken. The final statistics, Atlanta United, 15 shots, 3 on target. Colorado, 6 shots, 3 on target. Atlanta United won 6 corners. Colorado had 2. Atlanta United won 16 fouls tonight. Colorado won 9 fouls. Possession 66-34 in favor of Atlanta United. It was 61-39 in the second half, in case you're wondering. The duels won that. That's a very big number that Jason told you. 57-43, Atlanta United won the duels this afternoon and this evening. So Atlanta, and by the way, if you're wondering about chances, if you're wondering about key passes, and I know that that's been a point of debate.
There's no debate.
it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it
11
does.
Chances created for Atlanta United, 4 for Colorado. 4 chances in 90 minutes is reflective of a team, as Frank DeBoer said, that is not trying to play football.
Yeah, they're just not. I mean, Colorado came in and for the most part in the first half, played a line of 5 together and a line of 4 right in front of them together, and they did not step to the ball until it was 40 yards from their goal. That is not a team that's coming in to try to play expansive soccer to control a match. That's a team that is going to sit back and soak up pressure for as long as they can, even when they had an opportunity to play long. It's not like they were getting numbers forward.
Highlights and a conversation with Brad Guzan right after this. Atlanta United wins it this evening over Colorado 1-0 here on the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Earth, Wind, and Fire, Colorado band on a Saturday night, bringing us back on the full-time report with Atlanta United defeating Colorado Rapids 1-0. Let's go down to the Atlanta United dressing room. Brad Guzan gets his second clean sheet of the season tonight. And Brad, thanks for joining us. It doesn't matter how you get 3 points, right? You just got to get it, especially at home, and you guys got the job done tonight.
Yeah, definitely. It wasn't pretty by any means. Certainly not our sharpest night on the ball in front of goal. But at the end of the day, 3 points is 3 points. And when you're going through the rough patch that we seem to be going through lately, you take a result any way you can get it.
What did you feel like changed in the second half as the game got a little more stretched?
Exactly that. When an opposition puts 11 guys in their own half behind the ball, space is limited, space is tight, and you've got to be creative. You got to have runs from deep. You got to try and open them up and get behind them, play through the lines. For the goal, obviously Darlington does unbelievable in terms of beating the guy, gets the end line, a little ball into the near post, maybe a bit of confusion. Julian sticks a toe in and happy days, and we get the result.
Frank had mentioned, Brad, that you need two teams to play football, and it felt like only one really had any intent to try to win the match tonight. And it's been a couple times now where we've seen clubs come into Mercedes-Benz Stadium, not really play with a lot of initiative. And I guess this is the punishment that you pay for being a big club, isn't it?
Yeah, no, of course. We know there's high expectations with us as a club, as a group. We understand that, and it's our job to make sure that we try and get this thing going in a positive way. So it's not going to be easy. We know when teams come and play us, especially here, they know that if they can get numbers behind the ball and make it difficult for us, it gives themselves a chance. And so it's our job to break them down and try and pick up results.
How difficult is it for you after you make the substitutions and you get the goal and everything's a little frantic and all the changes in the back line? How much do you have to take a role in kind of organizing things at that stage?
Yeah, I mean, especially, at one point I think we had Darlington playing left back.
Yes.
Of course, that's not his natural position. But at that moment, we're trying to commit numbers forward, trying to get attacking players on the field to create something for us and give us a chance. And, like I said, he was great for us, all night, wherever he was on the pitch. But it's a group effort in terms of limiting the space that they have, the time that they have on the ball. I thought Jeff was fantastic in terms of his work rate to close guys down. So that part was huge. Everyone put in a great shift. It wasn't our sharpest night by any means, but a result's a result.
It felt to us up here in the booth, Leandro Gonzalez-Perez came up with a couple big moments, especially late. And Miles Robinson feels like he has become one of the most solid players on this team. Do you see it the same way from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, of course, those guys, they make plays, but at the same time, you know, we're constantly critiquing our performance as a group, as a back line, and how we can get better. So, you know, for all the positives, you know, that these guys bring, including, you know, Darlington when he's playing left back or Franco is right back, and you know, Breck in the first half, you know, we look at it as a group and we look at the moments how we can get better. And there's definitely those moments where as a group and as a back line, we can become sharper. We can have a better understanding of certain situations that the opposition creates against us.
Brad, thanks so much for being with us. We'll see you in Kansas City. And we're still working on getting you that case of Heyman Ale, by the way. I promise.
Sounds good, guys. I appreciate it.
All
have
right.
a good one.
Thanks, Brad. Brad Guzan, second clean sheet of the season for the 34-year-old from Evergreen Park, Illinois, tonight.
We've got to get him the Heyman Ale after a clean sheet. I mean, come on.
Well, I don't control the Heyman Ale stores with 92.9 The Game.
Mike's probably heading home listening, so Mike.
I hope Mike is listening.
Mike.
I would be very disappointed if he wasn't listening, because after all, Mike absolutely 100% of the time always sees the match the same way that we do. So I'm sure he's listened to everything that we have said tonight, nodding in perfect agreement.
We'll talk about it on Monday afternoon, Mike.
Hey, it's a win, it's a clean sheet, and for every Atlanta United clean sheet this season, Atlanta United donates $2,000 to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. With tonight's clean sheet, Atlanta United donates $2,000 to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total currently stands at $2,000. Want to do the highlights?
Let's do it.
All right, do we agree we only had one highlight tonight? Oren, you can chime into my ear if you want. Do we want to do the obvious, which is the goal, or
yes.
Do we want to do anything else? There's a save we can throw in, too. Let's hear the save, Oren. Nicholson now threading it through into the corner. Here's a cross to the penalty spot. Acosta got on it, and Guzan had to make the save. Oh, only had three shots tonight. All three were on target. That's one save. Here is another by Brad before Atlanta United finally got the goal. Dropping it back to the defensive third to Wilson. They'll try again down the right side. Here's Rosenberry. Rosenberry's cross to the penalty spot. Diving save, Brad Guzan. Mosquito got on it, and Guzan calmly makes the stop. And then really only a few minutes after that, Atlanta United finally got the breakthrough, and it was Darlington Nagbe that really set it up and put it on the plate for WrestleMania. Here is the hot play of the match brought to you by Scana. It was feared that would go out. Darlington Nagbe, though, steps in to intercept a pass for Mosquito. Dribbles to the end line. His cross, falling into the net! It's Julian Gressel! And WrestleMania is running wild on you! Atlanta United breaks through in the 74th minute. First league goal of the year for Gressel. Had a couple in CONCACAF Champions League. First MLS goal for Gressel. First assist of the year for Darlington Nagbe. That was the hot play of the match brought to you by Scana. It's funny, I felt like Atlanta United, the thing I'll remember most about this match, though, is the way they played in the minutes that followed that, with Nagbe in as a left back, trying to see the match out, and really doing a remarkably good job. And then obviously when Michael Parkers came in, that really righted the ship.
Yeah, I thought Frank DeBoer nailed the substitutions tonight again. He made the very bold substitution to bring in Tito and Eric at that moment of the match, which did turn it on its head a bit, and Darlington Nagbe stepped up in a big way. But then he had the trust and he had the confidence in his group to see out what Colorado was going to do. How are they going to respond to that? And they still had a substitution as well. So you wait till after Benny Failhaber is going to come in. You see what Colorado is going to do. Okay, at that point, we make the final sub. Let's get Parkhurst in. Let's solidify everything and get out of here.
And they did. They got the 3 points. In the end, that's all that matters. We know many of you feel many different ways about earning the 3 points. We'll try to digest those emotions right after this as we continue on the full-time report. 1-0 Atlanta United over Colorado Rapids on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From his 27th year, coming home to a place he'd never been before. Left yesterday behind him, you might say he was born again. You might say he found the key for every door. When he first came to
back live on the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I thought we were going to get the hook a lot sooner than that, but there's only so much John Denver we can listen to before we have to start talking. Colorado theme music on the full-time report because Atlanta United beats Colorado Rapids tonight 1-0 for their first league home win of the year. And, of course, everything is better when Atlanta United wins because with today's win, that's another donation of $1,000 to Piedmont Healthcare Foundation for a current total of $2,000. As a not-for-profit hospital system, Piedmont Healthcare relies on the generosity of donors to expand healthcare services in our community. Atlanta United is proud to be a Piedmont donor. Because we have to, let's get to your comments now on Twitter. Honestly, some of it's very level-headed. Some of it, look, everyone's entitled to their opinion. I just do want to remind all of you as we go through this, Atlanta United did win today's match. Scott Moore, we needed this win. I don't know if it is the style of play or what, but something just seems off still. What is it, guys?
Team sitting back and putting numbers behind the ball. I mean, this happened last year. Didn't really happen in 2017 as much, but it did happen last year. If you remember, Atlanta United last season coming into it, you'd went out and you brought in Ezekiel Barco. You went out and you brought in Darlington Nagbe. What was the one of the buzzwords that was going on around that? They were bunker busters. They were guys who could play in tight spaces because teams were starting to pack the box against them. That was 2017 coming into 2018. Okay. We had games like this. This happens sometimes where teams put numbers behind the ball. Montreal Impact. They got an early goal against the run of play, and they played a 5-4-1, and this is what they did. That game played out very similarly to this one. Atlanta was unable to follow it up, and they didn't get the free kicks that Kevin Kratz put in against Montreal. But you take those out of the equation, it's a very similar match. Mm-hmm. When teams put numbers behind the ball, as Frank DeBoer said, it's very difficult. You have to be perfect. You have to have those extra runs. Atlanta opened up more and more, sent more runners forward second half. They got riskier and riskier. Game could have went either way. Atlanta's quality ended up seeing it out.
And, I mean, as you brought up with Montreal, there were a lot of matches like this last year. I think the difference might be, I don't want to call it luck, but you had some moments of magic. And Kevin Kratz is a really, really good example of that, where you're probably losing that Montreal match if you don't get two lightning bolts from Kevin Kratz in the form of free kicks.
You had a lot of lightning bolts from Joseph Martinez last year as well. And right now, there's not any lightning.
To that point, Will Palmer asks, is the law of averages catching up to Joseph?
I kind of think it is. I mean, he's in the same spots for the most part. He's getting the same numbers generally of chances. He's actually taking more shots than he did last season, but some of those are coming from distance and in different places. He's getting similar chances. There were a couple tonight that he was a step off on crosses, good crosses, one from Breck Shea, one from Julian Gressel, I think one from Pitti Martinez. They were all very good, and he was a step off. It happens.
Ed Million, hard to break down a 9-block, but Atlanta made it harder at times with the lack of urgency. Pitti still looks better out wide and Barco centrally. We agree with that point. Would like to see Tito start over Gressel for the speed and more dribbling drives from Nagbe like on the goal.
Definitely want more from Nagbe in those situations. And if there's a criticism from me in the way that Atlanta approached it, it's as the first half went on, I think the frustration over running into a 9-block started to hit a little bit, and they got frustrated, and they started just putting in blind crosses and hoping. That's not what you want to see. You do want to see more of the dribble drives from a Nagbe. You do want to see more of a guy like Tito Villalba, who is always going to go for it. He has that in him. That's how he plays. Some games are good for Tito. This was a very good performance from Tito. He did bring a lot of energy that was needed. Sometimes when he started in recent matches, he hasn't brought that. Julian Gressel, I thought, was so-so in the first half, so-so early in the second half, but he picked his game up, and he made a great run. As Brad said, he gets a toe on it, and that's what it takes.
Now, on the Gressel point, we've gotten a lot of tweets. Trains at Blondie underscore Barco, who's not blonde anymore, by the way.
That was throwing you off, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. And John Roper, all kind of asking the same thing, so I'll paraphrase. They like that Tito was brought on, but they felt it should have been for Gressel not Pitti. As John Roper says, he felt like Pitti was really dialing it in with great crosses before he was taken off.
I did too. I thought Pitti was playing well. You needed to get Tito in because you needed that jolt of energy, and you know what Tito's going to give you off the bench when he comes in. I thought Frank made the difficult decision there. He could have pulled Gressel, and then do you get that type of run if Tito is in that position? Maybe. Maybe not. Julian ended up getting the goal, and it makes the decision look very good.
I think you also have to keep in mind that it is possible that the club does not yet see Pitti as 90 minutes there yet.
Could be. You got a lot of minutes coming up, too.
Now, I would also say the counter to that is if he can't give you 90, that makes you a little nervous about starting him.
If you can get that deep, it's okay to start.
And they got 75.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody in the Gulch about this. For an attacking player, I'm okay if they can give you 60 or 70 and that's it. For a defensive player, like if Franco Escobar was in that situation and he couldn't finish, I have more of a concern. I don't like to change the back line unless I have to.
Kevin from Charlotte says, not the way I wanted, but I'll take the 3 points. And he agrees with you. Reminds him, Kevin, of last year's team against bunkering teams, but it also seemed like last year Atlanta United had issues with weighted through balls and passes.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing because you have a very different dynamic in 2019 versus 2018. In 2018, you had Miguel Almiron's pace that could change things at times and was always a threat to the opposition. You don't have that same pace now, so you have to threaten the opposition in different ways. I thought what Atlanta ultimately ended up doing and playing a little more direct, giving away a little bit of that possession, but then winning the second ball, and they consistently won the second ball. It's not what you would expect, and maybe that's what this game needed, was something unexpected to change it.
Kind of got it.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Absolutely, because Colorado then started to open up and play a little bit, and they got stretched.
Yeah, and then it got fun, as we said during the game broadcast.
They started to get stretched. The substitution to bring in Vialba and Rometty stretched it further, and Darlington Nagbe took advantage.
John McElpine says, we are a wonderful team. Are we missing Miggy, though? Yes, sure, of course. I mean, Miggy's a great player. He says missing Garza, big time, yes.
Right now, for sure. And it's because of the George Bello
injury. It's not for any reason other than, and, you know, Darren was on 92.9 this week, and he made a good point. Garza's been hurt, too.
True.
So it's not to be assumed that Garza, if he were here, would even be available for you right now. Bello was not in the 18 again today. He was not in the 18 for ETL UTD2. He has, on Wednesday, he has been training. But I don't see a scenario where he could be starting matches until he gets at least a game or two in USL.
Yeah, I think that's the plan. When you're talking about a 17-year-old with a groin injury that is recurring, you need to take it very slowly with him. He's a very important part of this club for a long time, and you don't need to have this injury become a bigger issue.
I also think Breck Shea did a good job today. He absolutely did nothing wrong.
100%.
Breck Shea was totally fine, and it goes back to a point we've made a couple times. Breck Shea on full rest can be just fine for you. When Breck Shea was fatigued and having to play a lot of matches in a compressed schedule, he did struggle. I will give you that.
Breck Shea in a match like this or the match like New England against a team that is going to play New England, played very direct. Breck Shea was able to win the ball, make a pass. Today, Breck Shea was given a lot of space to get forward. He took advantage of it, and he created some things on the attacking end.
Nathan Pugh says, wasn't beautiful, but that'll do. Definitely need to figure out the crossing, though. It has not been an effective tactic.
That's one thing that this team has a bit of an issue with. When things are difficult through the middle, they resort to the crossing, maybe a little too much. And if you're going to do that, you have to get somebody up with Joseph Martinez who can be a threat in the air. Maybe that's a Julian Gressel when he's on the field operating as a second forward in those situations. Honestly, it's how Breck Shea's been used many different times in his career because of his height. He can step up and become that person for you. And it's something that we've seen in Frank DeBoer's past with Ajax, where you have to at times bring a player who is, you know, different into that role. You did not have Romario Williams in the 18 today. We talked about that last week, maybe bringing him in to get on the end of some of those crosses. If that's all there is in the game is to put in crosses, Joseph can't win them against three center backs on a regular basis.
One more from Daniel Price. Even though we came away with 3 points, I still don't feel confident and they don't seem confident. This was a must-win, but we needed a decisive one to boost overall confidence. What do you think?
What can you do is the thing. I disagree that the team didn't seem confident. I thought they saw the game.
The vibe around
well.
The team has been very positive over the last 3 weeks.
They've been confident before tonight.
Yeah.
And I don't think this changed it. You know, look, and as I think I agree with DeBoer when he said this win is kind of sweet because of you of what you did against a team that had no intention to play. You found a way. You found a way, and you know it needed to be more decisive. You can't play the game for the opposition. If they're going to make your life difficult, you have to get the win first. Win first, and then style points and all that is secondary. You've got to pick up 3 points, and in a game like this, you could not risk it because I saw a lot of people saying during the match, like, I want them to play faster. I want the run and gun style. I want this. You can't force it because if you do, you're disconnected. And Colorado, by playing a low block of five, then four in front, they're very connected. So if you get direct and get risky, as they did later and it opened up, Colorado had some chances, didn't they? You don't want that early. You've got to try to do it another way first. Atlanta did. It didn't work. They opened it up. They drew Colorado out. They dealt with the things that Colorado threw at them, and then they hit them going the other way. Atlanta has to find these different ways to deal with this because opponents are going to sit in low blocks in Mercedes-Benz Stadium for sure. Last year we talked about it at times. It felt like Atlanta played more freely on the road because teams would try to entertain their own fans. They don't come in here to entertain anybody.
I also think, and this is something that I've heard a lot from people associated with the Atlanta Hawks, that in the NBA, it's harder to play a home match than it is on the road for a couple different reasons. If you're on the road, you don't have to mow your lawn before a match.
It's true.
And that sounds like a minor thing, but I'm serious. Like, you have to live life when you're at home. You know, being on the road, the match becomes your singular focus. But I think the other thing, too, and this is something that Brad alluded to, and I don't know if he meant to in his remarks with us, I think you feel a little more pressure at home, and with the expectations as high as they are right now with this fan base, and it's right to expect a lot, there is pressure to come in here and put on the performance that 43,000 people were expecting to see tonight.
And I don't know what else they could have done to put on the performance that people wanted to see. And it goes back, I think, to the bigger question, as Atlanta matures as a soccer market and as a fan base, because this is the third year, it hasn't been 20 years. There's not this long history of playing a certain way, like Barcelona, for example. If you go in and you don't dominate possession in Barcelona, you're getting fired, period. Doesn't matter if you win or not. It's not the style that people want. I don't know what that is yet here, and I don't know if that's been truly defined. I think it is still in the process of being defined, and I think there is just a negative association with having a lot of the ball or the opponent giving you a lot of the ball in that that's a bad thing. And when you look at major clubs around the world who have an identity, the ones that have an identity that lasts are the ones who want the ball. Because that's when you can play and you decide how to play. If you don't have the ball, everything's based off the opposition. Atlanta United is a team that wants to control the play. It's harder to control the play without the ball. You see the Red Bulls try to do it with a press, and you see them fall in the playoffs. Atlanta United wants to control the ball. And I think the idea is that you want to be able to do that on a regular basis, week in, week out, and beat opponents because you have more talent. That's what Atlanta's trying to do.
So for Atlanta United, back on the road. It's on to Kansas City a week from tomorrow. We'll take a look ahead to that match and a very busy month of May that gets started next weekend. Right after this on the full-time report as Atlanta United defeats Colorado Rapids tonight 1-0 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.